everybody. This is Wally Roker of the Original Heartbeats. And you're listening to my good friend, Mike Miller, on the Harmony Street Show.
Hi, this is Chuck Jackson, and you're listening to my good friend, Mike Miller, on the Harmony Street Show.
It's Johnny Mathis, and you're listening to my good friend, Mike Miller, on the Harmony Street Show.
Hi, this is Clarence, I take the job.
Oh, man.
Henry, coming to you right now.
Gordy, Gordy.
And you're listening to my friend, Mike Miller.
Bring it, bring it.
On the Harmony Street Show.
Bring it. Bring it. Bring it.
You did a green frog sitting on a log, watching the big fish play. Little green frog, say it to them all, I'll be a star one day. But they all laughed at the frog, cried till his eyes turned red, because it made him sad every time the big fish said, oh, your eyes are too big, your legs are too long, your voice sounds awfully bad, ugly spot, long red tongue, you built up pretty sad, and you don't have no talent, all you can do. And when you open your big mouth, all you can do is grunt.
Bring it. Bring it. Bring it.
Little green frog, say to them all, laugh and have your thing. I got no gal, but I got a pal down in New Orleans. Every day when anybody play, the frog got a great big hand, and he got to thinking about what the fish say as he sat on his baby grand. Oh, little green frog, piano and all, he living off late night. He got no girl, but he been round the world and he spoke to everybody twice. Now every year when he goes back home, they have a holiday, and no longer does the little frog have to hear the big fish say, oh, your eyes too big, your legs too long, your voice sounds awfully bad, ugly spot, long red tongue.
Hi, this is Mike Miller, and you're here with me on the Harmony Street Show, and it's my pleasure to have as my guest, R&B royalty, the legend, Mr. Clarence Frogman Henry. How you doing, Clarence?
Hi, this is Clarence. I take the job, Frogman Henry. All the way from Bowling Green, Kentucky, but I'm from New Orleans, Louisiana.
Grundy, grundy.
Now, that's great. You know, what's really funny is years ago, I was at Media Sound on 57th Street Recording Studio, and Teresa Brewer was doing a commercial, and she had to read New Orleans. And she came over to me, and she said, how do you say it? Is it Norlands? Is it New Orleans? What is it really? So I'm going to ask you the same question. How do you
say it? It's all kind of ways. You know, we say New Orleans, you know, and some say New Orleans, and
right,
some say Norlands. You know, Norlands, you know, that's the people in New Orleans mostly say Norlands, you
yeah
know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because my friends from the Bronx say New Orleans.
Uh-huh. And they, you know, they pronounce it so cute, you know. But we say stump down home, New Orleans.
Yeah, what's funny, too, Jimmy Clanton is a really good friend of mine, and we talk about New Orleans all the time. I'm sure you know Jimmy.
Well, I play with him up in Jersey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But Bobby Charlton mostly was my friend and Joe Barry.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Wow, wow. So let's talk more about you. You were born and raised where now?
I was born in New Orleans, Louisiana, back in 1937, March the 19th.
I'm on the 18th, which means we're both Pisces, so this is going to go well.
Right. And I my daughter just had a birthday. She was February the 20th. And I got a granddaughter on March the 9th.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow. Wow, that's fabulous. when you were younger, who did you listen to? I'm sure, you know, you had the radio in the house and, you know, the music was blaring. When you were a kid, what was the music
when I was a real kid, you know, not a teenager, just about 8 years old, six
right.
years, my daddy listened to, New Orleans was full of hillbillies, you
right.
know. And we listened to the Dawn Busters
uh-huh.
and things. And then I started working in the service station when I was 15, and I was singing some pop songs, you know. But the guy that inspired me to really entertain a lot of people was, and I keep telling people, Fats Domino, my man, you know.
Wow. I have a story about Fats because I knew somebody that was his manager years ago that was in New York. And the story went like this. Now, I don't know if it's fact or fiction, but it was told to me by this particular person. And he said to me, he got a chance to send Fats to, you know, to work the casinos.
Right.
To Las Vegas. And it was his very first shot. And the guy that owned the casino called back the agent after that particular night where he did his debut, and he said, you got to fly out here right away. So the promoter said, wow, was he that good? He says, we'll discuss it when we get here. So he
right.
says, I want to book him again, but I want to book him, you know, in a casino for a whole year. I think it was the
uh-huh.
I think it was the MGM Grand or something like that, or one of the older casinos. And he says, well, I'll get on the plane and I'll come out and whatever. And he said, wow, when they had the meeting, he says, was he really that good? He said, nah, he really wasn't that great. But he ran up a $100,000 bill in the casino and he can't pay it. So now he's going to work for me for about 8 months or 9 months to pay it off. Now, I don't
that's
know if
true.
That's a truth.
That was true. It was true.
Well, the guy who actually booked them there, believe it or not, I met recently because I'm a member of the Footlighters Club in Florida, which is like the Friars Club. And he told me that story.
Right.
And I now can confirm it.
I heard that story years ago.
Wow.
Yeah. Grundy.
That's
crazy. He had his valet and them flying back and forth to New Orleans to get money.
That's funny.
Yeah.
So he was a smash
right.
hit. He was a smash hit in Las Vegas his first time out, man.
I love him, though. I love him.
I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure.
Yeah. I have a lot of respect for Fats Domino.
Oh,
you know.
I'm sure that you do.
Before Fats, it was Smiley Lewis, you know?
Right.
But Smiley Lewis just didn't have that voice that Fat had, you know?
Right. Fat
had that country stuff, Cajun stuff from Louisiana.
Right. Now, who was the Cajun cook that I used to see? Remember him? Or Justin Wilson. And he would get on and he would cook this dinner and he'd say, you're going to love it. I guarantee you.
Right. Yeah, that's the old Cajun, right.
Right.
I remember that. Mm-hmm.
Yep. So you were musical when you were young. You played the trombone and the piano, correct?
Well, what happened, you know, my daddy played all kind of instruments. Guitar, ukulele, and any string instrument, harmonica, piano, and then have a dad of lessons. It's what you call mother wit, you know?
Right.
And my daddy kept a piano. And so my oldest sister, Lizzie, their mama sent her to take piano lessons.
Right.
And so she didn't like it. So I told mama, you know, mama, I was about 8 years old. I said, send me and I'll show you what I'll do for your 50 cents.
Uh-huh.
At that time, lesson was 50 cents at Miss Jones in New Orleans on Columbus and Claiborne.
Wow.
And so I started going to piano lesson, but I was really watching the girls, you know.
Why
and
not?
And the day before I had to go to lesson, I would practice.
Uh-huh.
So anyway, we moved across the river in Algiers, you know, West New Orleans, in 1948.
Uh-huh.
And, so what happened, I was about 10 years old, making 11. And so what happened, my mama still sent me to take lessons for 50 cents. I catch the bus and the ferry to go to, and I learned the piano and the fundamental of the piano. But I taught
right.
myself my style. You
right,
know?
Right.
It's pretty close to Fats Domino.
Uh-huh.
And I used to play bang on the piano at school.
Uh-huh.
And the secretary, when the principal and the teacher would be in a meeting, the secretary would have somebody entertain the children in the school.
Right.
So she didn't know my name or anything, but she knew what I wore, a little red and black checkered jacket.
Uh-huh.
So she said, little boy with the red and black jacket, come on and entertain, you know, the student body
uh-huh.
in the assembly hall.
Uh-huh.
So what happened, I made myself like Fats Domino and Professor Longhair.
Right, right.
And I even went there and bought a wig and had two plaques, called myself Professor Longhair.
So that's pretty
but
cool.
Really, Fats Domino, well, he was my, you know, idol,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, that's really somebody to model yourself after because, you know, we all know about Fats, and he was the man at that time.
Right.
Absolutely.
Well, I had a lot of people that, you know, I can look up and thank for my career. And this secretary, for one, you know, and my music teacher, Mr. William Houston Sr., he put me in the band, and I didn't even know how to hold a trombone,
uh-huh.
you know. And first year I played third trombone, and for the last 3 years in my career, I played first trombone.
Wow.
And my first job with the trombone was with Handy, a saxophone, alto saxophone player named Captain Handy,
uh-huh.
you know. And we worked on in the Irish Channel
cool.
around Carnival time. That's how I paid for my graduation ring. Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, you know, it's pretty gutsy to get up in front of the entire student body when you were a young guy and have the guts to get up and do that. You know, with me, I'm pretty proficient guitar player and I do vocal arranging and everything. And my piano is more like three finger stuff, you know.
Just,
right. You know,
right.
I can get the chord, you know, going, you know, when I record, but I'm really not a keyboard player. So you then joined the Bobby Mitchell Band, right? It was an R&B band.
Now you're talking. What happened, Mr. William Houston Sr.? See, Bobby went to L.B. Langer High School like we did, you
right.
know. And Mr. Houston put a band together with Bobby, you
uh-huh.
know. And the Gabriel Fleming and the Clark's brothers and the Charles brothers, you know, and the Stokes, mm-hmm, and Big Bounce, you know, Bailey.
Right.
And, you know, and I played with Bobby. So when Bobby had to work and couldn't make the job, that's how I started singing, you know.
Oh.
And I never forget racing in Louisiana at the Fun Pavilion. Every song you played, you had to play it twice. I don't care what song you played, you had to sing it or play it twice.
Wow.
So and then we went to Sorrento, that's right before you get to Baton Rouge, Gonzales.
Right.
Oh, yeah. And so I was working with Bobby, so I had to get married in April the 1st, 1955.
Right.
My wife was 14 years old,
wow.
and I was 18.
Yeah.
And so I had to miss that night with Bobby. So I think he fired me because he didn't give me no more jobs.
Oh,
you know?
Man, come on, you know.
And that's when I went on my own.
And that's
know?
When you needed the job. So when you were playing with Bobby, you were just singing or you were singing and playing piano?
I was playing trombone and piano
wow.
for Bobby.
Wow.
And so when he didn't make the job, that's when I was singing, you know, in the
wow.
club.
Wow,
mm-hmm.
wow.
But I was playing trombone and piano, and then they had a guy named Gabriel Fleming. He played trumpet and piano. Mm-hmm.
Wow. See, now, I got married at 19. I thought I got married young. Man, you beat me.
Right. Well, and what tickled me, my wife was 14 years old.
Wow.
And so my wife told me, you know, to go back home to my mom, and she called me Pope, you know. And I went home, and I passed up my mama house and stayed with my aunt, you know.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. So what happened, a guy named Warren Payne and Bennett Cummins, they came and they got me to play at a club in Algiers called the Fat Man.
Uh-huh.
And that was $5 a night, you know, for 4 hours.
Wow.
And then I got a raise at another club. I got at Bill Chicken Shack was $7 a night.
Wow.
And then so a guy from Joy Lounge in Gretna, that's a white club.
Okay.
And he came to Bill Chicken Shack and listened to me. Then he said he wanted to hire me, you know. So he wanted to hire me for about 4 nights a week, you know.
Wow.
And that's when I work at the old Joy Lounge, and that's when I made Ain't Got No Home.
Well, four nights a week, if they were paying you, you know, $7 a night or $8 a night, you know, and you were making 28
right.
or 30 bucks, I mean, I guess in those days, if you were getting $30 or $40 a week, that was a lot of money.
You wouldn't believe it. I was working in the service station for $25 a week.
Wow.
And that was big money, you know.
Yeah.
Would get me, and I respected it, my parents, because I worked the whole week for $25 a week, and my mama gave me $1 a week, you know, to play with.
Wow, wow, wow.
But I respect my parents, you know. That wasn't my money, that was their money.
No, I understand. No, I, mm-hmm. yeah, well, you know, we, and that's another whole subject. We could talk about how kids respect their parents. We could talk about that a little later. Well, that's changed, you know.
Right.
You know, but, okay, so you then wrote Ain't Got No Home, and how did that come about?
Well, what happened, I was working overtime. I was had a band leader by the name of Eddie Smith. And, so what happened, Eddie Smith would wait to the club owner telling him to when to get off. And we had them played about 6 or 8 hours.
Wow.
And every time the time to get off, the guy go outside, and Eddie never did reach the guy. So, you know, I hear the riff on the piano.
Right.
That the people didn't have no home, you know. Ain't uh-huh. got no home came instantly, you know.
Right.
And so what happened, Paul Gayton, I played the song for him, and he sent it up to Leonard Chess.
Right.
And Leonard came down to New Orleans, him and Bobby Charles, and they listened to me singing, and Leonard Chess told Paul to bring me in the studio and record Ain't Got No Home.
Wow.
Ooh, ain't got no home, I know a place to roam. Ain't got no home, I know a place to roam. I'm a lonely boy, I ain't got a home. I got a voice, I love to sing. I sing like a girl, and I sing like a frog. I'm a lonely boy, I ain't got a home.
By so many people, you know. I just saw a clip of Madeline Kahn, the comedian, singing Ain't Got No Home. And she did it on TV, you know, years ago. And so many people have covered that tune or sang that tune. It's been in so many places.
For my next selection, another song about love. Imagine, if you will, that I'm a young black boy in the South, I suppose, and then a young black girl, and then an amphibious creature of some kind, you know, all alone somewhere by a pond. Okay, could you give me the note that I need, please?
Ooh, ain't got no home, or no place to roam. Ain't got no home, or no place to roam. I'm a lonely boy, I ain't got a home. But I got a voice, and I love to sing. I sing like a girl, and I sing like a frog. I'm a lonely boy, I ain't got a home. I'm a lonely frog, I ain't got a home. Oh, what you say to me, they say to me. Oh, what you say to me, they say to me. I'm a lonely frog, I ain't got a home.
The Troubles tune, was that supposed to be the A side?
Everybody got troubles, 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 and I got troubles too. Everybody got troubles, 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 and I got troubles too. I got so much trouble, I don't know what to do. Everybody got troubles, 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 troubles all the time. Everybody got troubles, 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 troubles all the time. I got so many troubles. I'm about to lose my mind. I got troubles with the rent man. I got troubles with my wife. I got troubles with the income tax. I had trouble all through my life. Everybody got troubles, troubles, troubles. Nobody's satisfied. Everybody got troubles, troubles, troubles. Nobody's satisfied. There's but one way out, and I guess that's suicide. Trouble, trouble, trouble.
nobody's satisfied. Everybody got trouble, trouble, trouble. Nobody's satisfied. There's but one way out, and I guess that's suicide.
Yeah, Troubles, Troubles yeah. was supposed to be the A side, you know.
Wow.
Because Paul Gayton had written that one, you know, and I, you know. And they had a leading a disc jockey in New Orleans by the name of Papa Stopper.
Uh-huh.
And he flipped it over. And he played Ain't Got No Home. And the people in New Orleans didn't know who was singing the song, who the name of the song. So they told the disc jockey to play the frog song by the Frog Man. And so I was happening to be in the studio, and Papa Stopper told me, say, nah, that's your name, Frog Man. That's how I got my name, Frog Man.
From a disc jockey.
Grundy.
Well, I got to tell you something, and, you know, this will make you smile. My wife and I are together 8 years now. And, you know, it's the third and last marriage for both of us. Let me just tell you that right now. But when I came into her house, she had a 57 Seberg jukebox, original, you know, that has been kept alive, you know, and serviced and all of that. And she's got 200 vinyl records in it. And we're playing and we're playing. And wouldn't you know, she's got the Frogman in there on vinyl. And I will tell you that, you know, we have Sirius Radio in the car. And whether you know it or not, they've been playing you a lot on Sirius 50s, and every time it comes on, every time you come on, she turns it on because she says to me, hey, that's Clarence Frogman, man, turn that up. She knows who you are, and she loves it, and I think that's very unique.
Great. And what get me, I called my publisher. I got a new publishing company out of New York, I think.
Uh-huh.
I don't really know. I think it's BMW or something like that.
Right.
Some guy called me and told me that someone's singing my song on YouTube. And I turned it on YouTube, and guess who it was? Jacob Dylan. Bob Dylan's son.
Oh, really? Oh, wow.
And he's singing it. And then it so happened that some guy in New Orleans, Louisiana, had had a show.
Right.
He was going around Louisiana with a little skit with Ain't Got No Home. You know, I ain't got no home.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, you know, It is very unique, and you know, it's like when people hear your tunes, they can't wait to get to that part. And most people, when they're driving in the car, will sing along with it. You know.
And you know what get me was this Marvin Gaye and Robert Stitchin, and you know, but Marvin Gaye, Rod Stewart, you know, Rod Stewart sang a song.
Oh yeah.
Some Girl to Have All the Luck.
Yep.
And I was trying to get him, you know, because I think he's singing a part of Ain't Got No Home.
Yeah, well, he lives not far from me here in Palm Beach in Florida, you know.
Right. You know what song I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do.
Some Guys Have
Some Guys Have All the Luck.
On the end of his song, you say, ooh, ooh, ooh.
Yep, I do know. Well, you know, if I can get a hold of him, I'm going to hook you two guys up.
I'm great.
I'm gonna make it my business to do that, you know. You had both ends of the spectrum, you know. I mean, you had a good singing voice, tenor voice, and you also had a unique falsetto, and you also had the froggy voice. So you were all over the map in the studio, which is pretty cool. You know, you're a recording engineer's nightmare.
Well, what did it mean, you know, how I start singing like a girl because of Sharon and Lee.
Uh-huh.
You know, in New Orleans, you know, everybody had to do all kind of song and all kind of music.
Right.
And we didn't have no female in the band, so I would sing the part with the girl part. And the frog, I was doing the frog when I was going to school.
Cool.
You know, I would tease the girl, you know, behind the girl and to go like a frog.
Right, right.
Because Louisiana got a lot of frogs and alligators and
right.
all that, you
right,
know.
Right. Mm-hmm. So once in a while they sent you to detention, you know, and they said, now you can do the frog after school all you want, all by yourself.
Right.
That's funny. Now, so let me ask you something. When you went into the recording studio and you did Ain't Got No Home and Troubles, Troubles, did you know what you had? When you walked out of the studio and you recorded, did you know what you had in your hand? Something
no. I didn't know what I was going to be the outcome. You know, Paul Gayton, he was the A&R man, you know.
Uh-huh. So, in other words, and then all of a sudden you must have been surprised when you heard it back and all of a sudden, you know, he you were in the top 10.
You wouldn't believe it. What happened, what Ain't Got No Home, I was in Algiers. Driving, and the first time I heard it, I almost made a wreck. I thought, that's me.
Right.
Yeah, because I was in the studio, you know, and Ain't Got No Home was a sleeper, you know.
Yeah.
And so they sent me to the Apollo with my first show that I did in 1957.
Wow, and you know, that's great. That's great. And you know, you were at the Apollo with the Heartbeats. You know, Wally Roker, the bass of the Heartbeats, is a very good friend of mine.
Yeah, I met him. But he was with, what is his name? I knew the guy, the lead singer with the Heartbeats.
Well, you know, Wally called me just recently. I am now on the advisory board of the Doo-Wop Music Hall of Fame out in California, and Wally from the Heartbeats was one of the guys that actually got me involved in that. So that's a good
thing. Well,
so,
and another thing about Wally,
yeah.
You know, the last time I played with Wally was with Jerry Butler and them in Tennessee. I think it was Jackson, Tennessee.
Wow.
We all played together. Mm-hmm.
Well, now let me ask you this. Has T.J. Lubinsky called you up and asked you to do the PBS special or no?
No, he hasn't called me. I haven't heard from him.
Yeah, I got to hook that up. I got to call T.J. And, you know, usually they do that in Pittsburgh.
Right.
And, you know, I got to call him too because, man, you deserve to be on there. I think he would flip having you on. Absolutely, we got to do that. So here you are. You had the big hit. Did they give you any money?
You know, one thing I really, we talk about the money was short during those times.
Right.
But I appreciate Lenny Chess, Paul Gayton and all of them.
Right.
They gave me my start. You know, they gave me my career.
Right.
And now it's paying off. I'm getting my money now.
Very cool. I mean, that's a great story because Jimmy Keys from the Chords, you know, that wrote Shaboom. I was a dean in a tough area of the Bronx. I was a dean in Castle Hill Junior High School and all his kids went to Castle Hill. And, I saw Jimmy all the time and, he pretty much died penniless. He didn't get any money, and you figure Shaboom was such a big hit, and he would always say about how the white groups went in and recorded it and made all the money, and he died on the R&B charts, and I thought it was really a very sad thing.
And what tickled me, and back in those days,
yeah.
They bought you a car.
Right.
You
oh,
know,
wow.
They bought you a car.
Yeah.
And they give you a few dollars.
Uh-huh.
You didn't get much money. But now, I had a lady, a lawyer, they sued MCA.
Huh.
And I started getting my money, you know.
Wow, fabulous.
And now, every month, every 6 months, I get a check.
Well, I think that's...
And I'm still getting it.
I think that's
since
great.
You know, since 1995.
Wow.
Let's see, 1995 or before then. Because
wow.
I was with Rush Limbaugh, you know.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's a good story. So you had two hits. What happened? I guess you were doing the Apollo. You were going on, were you touring, you know, and following the record?
I did it for a year.
Right.
And then I had to go back home. You know, I thought the sun would shine, you know, for the rest of my life. But,
right.
You sign for a year, then they'd send me back home to New Orleans.
Right.
And so what happened, I would start working the clubs.
Right.
And then in 1960, Leonard Chess came down, and he heard me singing in a club, and he told me that I was going in the studio and record.
Right.
And I told him I didn't have nothing until me, Paul Gayton, and Bobby Charles got together, and we came up with But I Do.
Right.
And but Just My Baby and Me was the A side. And they flipped it over to But I Do. And But I Do was a sleeper. And there I went again.
Just my baby and me, we're so glad to be in each other's arms, sharing each other's charm. Just my baby and me, we as close as can be. Cupid gave us a shove. So happy in love. When nighttime comes, I hurry down to our front door. We start to kiss and reminisce, and I'm in heaven once more. This time I'm in love. I'm really in love. We'll be right back.
And back in 1964, I played with the Beatles.
This I know, and I want to talk to you about that as well at one point. You also had, and it gets played a lot, was You Always Hurt the One You Love. And Sirius plays that one as well.
Sweet is rose and crush it till the petals fall. You'll always break the kindest heart with a hasty word you can't recall. If I broke your heart last night, it's because I love you more of all.
What I do, you had to get a follow-up, and they sent me a dub of I'm a Fool to Care for me to learn and go in the studio to record it.
Uh-huh.
And what happened, Joe Barry came out with it before I could record it. So we had to hurry up and get another number, and Leonard Chess flew me and Alan Toussaint up to Chicago.
Right.
And that's when we did You Always Hurt the One You Love. And that was a big one for me also.
Right. And that was a Mills Brothers tune, I think.
Right, right.
Yeah, that I know.
Right.
And mm-hmm. Alan Toussaint produced that, right?
Right, Alan Toussaint.
Right.
You know, he was the A&R man
yeah.
on that.
No, I do know his name. Now, I've been doing a little research, and I am just blown away by the amount of recording that you did. I mean, you did a lot of recording. I didn't realize that you had recorded so many tunes.
A couple of weeks ago, I looked up there. I recorded over 50 songs or more.
Right, right.
You know, and I got about three or four albums. You know, and CDs, you know.
Right. Mm-hmm. And nowadays, nobody knows what to do with the record. I said, what do? You put it on Amazon for 99 cents. You put it on iTunes. Nobody knows what to do anymore with a record.
Yes, indeed. Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. So, on Bended Knees, tell me about that tune.
Please forgive me if I cry. But my baby say goodbye. Hope and pray that she come back home someday. She
She left me feeling so blue. I didn't know just what to do. If she only come back home, I wouldn't feel so all alone. The days I shed all tears in vain. Send my baby back again. I didn't know I missed her so. Tell me why she had to go. Got to pray to you above. Back the girl I love. Do this for me, won't you please? I beg of you on bending knees.
Oh, well, we went in the studio and did on bending knees, and now you always heard the one you love was the one, you know.
Right.
And Longest Street, that was supposed to be another big hit.
Kisses for me, no tea tonight, cause no one loves me, or hold me tight, for a broken romance, now makes me weep, it makes me walk down this long. Place which I'm wrong with a broken heart, for my home's still tied, can't wake from sleep, like me walk down this long.
Right, I know that tune. Standing in the Need of Love. I've heard that one.
It's me, oh baby, it's me. Standing in the need of love. It's me, nobody but me. Standing in the need of love. Yeah, standing in the need of love. Oh. It's me, oh baby, it's me. Love, it's me, nobody but me. Standing in the need of love, yeah, standing in the need of love. Oh, not my sister or my brother that you see, not my father or my mother, no sorry. It's not my neighbor and it's not my friend. I'm my aunt, I'm my uncle, I'm my other kid. Oh, it's me, always me. Standing in the need of love, it's me, never.
love. Yeah, standing in the need of love. But me, standing in the need of love. Yeah, standing in the need of love. Oh, I am so hungry for your loving, don't you know? Come and take me in your arm and never let me go. I've been waiting for a long, long time. Will you have a little mercy on this heart of mine? Always be standing in the need of love. It's me, definitely standing in the need of love. Yeah, standing in the need of love. Oh.
Now, Alan Toussaint, he wrote that one. You know, it's a religious song, huh?
Right.
Standing in the need of prayer. And when that one came out, they wouldn't play it on the radio at that time, you know. I remember Savannah, Georgia wouldn't play it, you know, standing in need of love.
Right. Tell me about Lonely Street. Tell me about that song. How did that come about?
That was another song that we got together there, Alan Toussaint and Paul Gayton, you know.
Right.
And it was a great song. I enjoyed it, you know. And at first, when I did Ain't Got No Home, I did it with Eddie Smith Band. And then it turned out to be my band, you know.
Right, mm-hmm. Right, right. So you had your own band, you know, after that you had your own players that you stuck with all the time then.
Right. Al Bemis, Michael Pierce, and Warren Nabone, and Clinton Charlotte. Those were my main musicians, you know.
Did you do the Dick Clark tour at all?
Yeah, I did the Dick Clark with Paul Anka.
Oh, wow.
The Shirelles.
Shirley is still a good friend of mine. She's terrific.
Hi there. I'm Shirley Austin Reeves, the original lead singer of the Shirelles. And you're listening to my good friend Mike Miller on the Harmony Street Show. Hi, Mike. How you doing, baby?
I'm doing great. I love you. Thank you.
Love you too, Mike.
Right, right. Well, that's Wally and Shirley. We played Tennessee with Jerry Butler, a show together.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Because Mickey and Mickey and Beverly and all of them, you know.
Right.
Those were my friends.
Wow. That's pretty cool. Because Shirley still is doing the oldies stuff. I mean, I MC a lot of the big oldie shows down here in Florida. I even get to sing, you know. I sang with a couple of groups. You know, a lot of the groups are still around. I wonder, are you still going out and doing shows every once in a while?
No, I stopped.
Yeah,
I gave it up this year. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, running around the country. Well, this is the way I look at it. My wife reminded me of the same thing. And here it is. You fly out Friday afternoon. Let's say you're going to Boston. You fly out Friday afternoon. You get on the plane. You take a 4-hour trip. You get off the plane. You get to the hotel. You hang out with all the other acts and whatever. And then you go eat dinner and you fill yourself up. Then you all get together and you stay up late because you're all talking about the same old stories from years ago. Then you get up early in the morning, you eat a big breakfast, right, the buffet. Then you go to sound check is 10 o'clock and lasts all day, and they all fight over who's going first. And then the band doesn't look at your charts until the sound check, you know, so it takes twice as long. And then the people come in, you do your show. And then afterwards you sign autographs and then you eat again. You go to bed late. You wake up Sunday. You eat the big buffet again. It's now 12 o'clock. You get on the plane at 1 o'clock. You don't get home till 11 o'clock at night. And you've given up 3 days in order to do your 20 minutes on stage. And my wife said to me, there's something not right about that.
But it's good though.
Oh,
it
yeah.
You're good, you know.
Well, of course, because, you know, once, you know, especially for a guy like you, you know, once you got it in your blood, it's like, you know, they got to kill you to get you to stop.
Right. No, it come natural. Mm-hmm.
Right, exactly. But I do understand that, you know. But you know, I would say, you know, three days to do 15 minutes, you know.
Right.
I don't do it as much. I do a show now called Doo-Wop Stylings, and I do it with the lead singer. There was a tune by the Casinos, Then You Can Tell Me Goodbye.
Right.
And the lead singer from that group, Kenny Brady, does a show with me. We do a 90-minute show, the tracks, you know, which I make in the studio. And we do it in the country clubs. And you know what? People love the music, and we feel good about it, and it's all good, you know.
Right.
It's all good stuff. And my wife comes along. So then the smoke clears a little bit. And I guess at this time, you're still working in New Orleans and keeping the people happy there. You're doing the clubs and all of that stuff, right?
I did it for 21 years
French
Quarter, you know?
Wow.
And I've been out there 58 years. That's enough, you know?
I guess you ran into the Neville brothers once in a while.
Well, what happened, we started out together. You know, the Neville brother was way back, you know, Art Neville.
Right.
Started out, you know.
Right.
And Tommy Risley.
Uh-huh.
And you know, back in those days, that was the early days, you know. And then they formed the brothers, you know, the Neville brothers, and then the Meters, you know.
Right. Yeah, because I know all about that. Aaron just did something with Eugene Pitt from the Jive 5. I think they did My True Story. They re-recorded it, and I think Aaron Neville sang the lead on it not long ago.
The Jive 5?
Yeah.
It was on the Dick Clark tour with me.
Oh, yeah. I still, as a matter of fact... Eugene is going to be inducted into the Doo-Wop Hall of Fame in March.
No kid.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. But I know Aaron just did a recording of My True Story with Aaron singing the lead recently.
Uh-huh.
How about Pete Fountain? You run into him?
Well, Al Hood was more of a friend of mine.
Oh, okay.
You know, he and I, I even work a few jobs with his daughter's booking agent.
Wow.
And we played for the president, Bush, the old man.
Very cool.
You know, Al Hoyt and I, we played back in the days. Mm-hmm.
Cool. I had a chance to do that. I had a group called Harmony Street. I had three girls in a group, and we were very doo-wop, Manhattan Transfer type, and we were the entertainment for the White House Christmas party in 98 for the Clintons, and that was... That was the week after he got in trouble. So he was like in a mood and she was in a mood. But, you know, that was great. I mean, Tony Bennett was there. Tony said to me, I sang for five presidents and I never got paid.
Well, I did manage to get a few dollars out of that one.
Oh, cool. Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool. So now you then switched to the Parrot label.
I've been with so many labels, the Parrot, the Roulette.
Right.
I even did one label in England, you know.
Wow. So
I did a single with Dave, you know, Chet and Dave.
Oh, okay.
In England. I did, recorded for them over there.
Wow. So you actually recorded for Morris Levy. Wow. I bet you didn't get paid for that.
Yeah, I think I got paid a couple of dollars.
Because Morris liked to put his name on everything, you know.
Right. Mm-hmm. You know, then I did for down in Texas, Huey Moe.
Oh, okay.
You remember Huey Moe?
Yeah. I know who that is.
You get Bob and Lynn and what that guy name? The Bells. What his name?
Archie Bell. Archie mm-hmm. Bell and the Drells.
Right.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Archie's still around. He's still like.
Right. And Freddie Fender.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah. Freddie Fender. I forgot about him.
Right. But you wouldn't believe it that the people that I played with in my career was Ray Charles. Yes. Elton John, Jimmy Buffett. That's my buddy, Jimmy Buffett.
Wow.
You know, so many people. What a name. At last.
Etta James.
At a game, yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, wow, wow. Well, hey, listen.
That was my buddy there, at a game.
Yeah.
Impression, Brenda Lee.
So the tune, Have You Ever Been Lonely?
Right.
Yeah, that was on Parrot. That was on the Parrot label. See, you don't even remember. I'm going to tell you now.
Yeah, I got to look at the label, go back and look at the record to tell which one of them was on, you know.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about Katrina. For people that were in New Orleans, was devastating.
What happened? They had a storm before Katrina.
Right.
And we all left New Orleans and went to Houston for 3 days, and nothing happened in New Orleans, so we came back home. And soon we got back home, here come Katrina and them. And so we had to get out of there.
Wow.
And me and my daughters, I had about 17 of us. We left New Orleans the Sunday before Katrina.
Uh-huh.
And we headed for Memphis. We couldn't go to Houston. You had a certain line. If you get in it, you can go to that state. So we got in a line to go toward Mississippi, up Mississippi, Slidell up to Jackson, Mississippi, went up to Memphis.
Right.
And we thought we was going to stay there for 3 days.
Uh-huh.
And we wound up staying in Memphis a whole month.
Wow.
You know, I stayed with my grandson and them 17 of us. We had 3 houses that we stayed in.
Wow.
And I mean, and I had, I didn't get no flood, but I had roof damage.
Yeah, no, I know. Well, you know, they said, and we heard down here, they said that for a couple of days, they couldn't find Fats Domino, that he was missing for a couple of days, and they didn't know what happened to him.
And you know what happened? Did you hear the story about that?
No, I didn't get the answer.
That was, they pulled him out through the roof.
Wow.
He would stand there guarding his money.
Wow.
That's what I heard, but it might be the truth, might be a lie.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
You know, but they pulled him out through the roof. And he moved on my side of the river, you know, in Harvey, Louisiana.
Wow.
I think he liked it there now, but he was from the Ninth Ward.
Uh-huh.
He was a good friend of mine. Oh,
I'm sure.
And also with his brother-in-law, Reggie Hall.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, there was a joke about that, you know, that the street started to flood, you know, and as the street started to flood, the people couldn't open their doors. So this one guy, you know, the boat goes by. And they yell to the guy inside the window, come on in, hop in the boat, man, and we'll save you. And he says, no, it's all right, the Lord will save me. And then all of a sudden, the waters rise a little bit more and whatever, you know, and he gets up to the roof. And
right.
Again, they go by in a bigger boat, and he's up on the roof, and they said, come on, man, hop in the boat again, you know. And he says, no, that's all right. I'm going to stay on my roof. The Lord's going to save me. So, you know, the water is already up to the roof of the house. And they come by in the helicopter and they drop him a rope. And they say, come on, man, grab the rope and we're going to save you. He says, no. He says, man, I have faith in the Lord. The Lord is going to save me. So the water goes up to the top of the roof and he drowns. And he goes to heaven. And St. Peter says to him, you know, he says, I don't know, man. He says, I spent my whole life praying to God, and look what happened, man. I drowned in a river. And so, you know, St. Peter says, hey, I don't know what to tell you. You know, we sent you 2 boats in a helicopter. You know,
right.
What more do you want? And that's really the way it works. A lot of times people don't see, you know, they don't grab what's in front of them and realize that, you know, that's the real deal. They're always looking.
Right.
They're always
never
looking.
Never know, because I heard the one time that, a woman's son was in bad shape, you know, and he was waiting on the Lord, you know, to come save the child. And the Lord had a beard, you know, a beard and a raggedy. He looked, you know, like a tramp.
Right.
And it was raining or something, and he sat on our porch and was on a swing.
Yeah.
And he ran him, you know, told him, get off our porch and thing like that, you know. And come to find out that the law can't come there to save our child, but you ran it, you know, you never know.
I hear you. Sometimes it's right in front of our noses and we don't see it, you know. So, having done all the things that you did, and you've been everywhere and you've done it all, and they're still playing your music, how do you think the business has changed?
I think it's all this hip hop and bebop or whatever you call it.
Yeah,
it's not the music that we played that you know you remember your wife or your girlfriend or
right.
your family or what
right.
you know. Mm-hmm. I enjoy the music from a long time ago.
No, I agree with you. And, you know, I used to say to myself, good music is good music, whether it's country, whether it's hip-hop, whether it's R&B, whether it's gospel, you know, whatever. But
well, it was all the same.
Yeah.
You know, country and western was, oh, man, that's a good music. I like it.
Yep.
Because I recorded with Bill Justin and all of them. And I was in the studio, and some guy was recording and with the hillbilly music, and
right.
I'm telling you, it was the grooving, you know.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, good country stuff, there is some country stuff that's really, really good. Now they're just, like, shooting out lyrics like crazy, and, you know, they write a song in 15 minutes, you know, and it's, to me, you know, it's not the same as it was, but, you know, they say, you know what happens when you play a country tune backwards?
Yeah.
your truck starts, your dog comes back, your wife comes back, you know, everything you lost comes back to you. Do you watch American Idol on TV?
Not really.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, that's where they get the young kids and they all compete for the top spot,
right,
and they got the
right
judges. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because there is a lot of talent out there, but, you know, they're really tough on a lot of these kids. And, you know, sometimes you say the wrong thing to a talented kid and you could ruin his whole career because you take his self-confidence away. And it's not a great thing. You know,
I've been looking at The Voice a little bit.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay. You know, that's true too. But what about the kids? What about the kid that is just not ready and he gets rejected and he goes home and he says, "Ma, I don't want to do this anymore." You know, and maybe he's a talented kid that really could go places. It's very tough. The reality shows are very tough on these kids, you know?
Well, you can't go by things like that because it happened to me when I was young.
Right.
In Algiers, back in the days, like, they had certain people and it was like a syndicate, politic with the important people, you
right,
know.
And right.
Other kids was like nobody, you know.
I hear you.
And the preacher's son and them, they wanted them to be on top, and the other kids were like nobody.
Yeah.
And a man told me, God knows, I never forget this, the man told me that I couldn't sing. I didn't have no voice to sing, you know?
Right, right.
And so when I got older, and I joined my church choir, and I asked this man, I say, that song you sing, I so love it, you know? And he discouraged me then. He said, yeah, if you be in the choir long enough, you'll learn it, you know? But he told me that I couldn't sing and wind up with that. He couldn't sing because he sang off key, you know?
Right. No, I hear you. And that's the point. I mean, a lot of people don't realize that a lot of these people that had hit records, you know, it took them a lot of years to become an overnight success. And, you know, I look at some guys, they got thrown out of a lot of different record labels and got rejected until they got in and got their first shot.
Right.
You know, that was usually the story.
Because I went to record Lonely Tramp. I'm a Lonely Tramp. I wrote that one before I Ain't Got No Home.
Uh-huh.
I'm a Lonely Tramp. I'm a lonely tramp, don't have nobody in this world to care for me, because I'm lonely, I'm no good, just a lonely tramp. Left my wife and my child, my dear mother, she sit at home to cry. Because I'm lonely, I'm no good, just a lonely tramp. When I'm walking down the street, everybody point their fingers at me. Because I'm lonely, I'm no good, just a lonely tramp. There ain't no use for you to cry, because I'm lonely, I'm no good.
to a studio to record that, and the guy thought nothing of it, you know, Lonely Tramp, you know, and that didn't discourage me, so I just came on with Ain't Got No Home.
Right, right, right. Which we know. I mean, you know, it's amazing to me, like, how many other people have used that tune. You know, it's just amazing. It's still alive and it's still well, you right. know. And I mean, just, you know, on Sirius Radio, you hear it all the time. Now, let's talk about the Beatles. You spent a lot of time with the Beatles.
I did 18 dates with the Beatles.
Wow.
And I was with the Beatles for 21 days.
Wow.
And 18 days that we traveled all around the East Coast and Midwest and Canada, you know.
Wow.
And the most friendly guy of the Beatles was Paul McCartney, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I always thought that Paul, you know, everybody gives John Lennon all the credit, and I'm one of those guys. I'm a Paul fan, you know. I think Paul was really, to me, the main force behind the Beatles. That's just my opinion, you know. I met Ringo once. I met him at a party in Manhattan many, many years ago. He was with his wife, Barbara Bach. And he told me, I hardly remember any of it. And it wasn't the drugs. It's just that it happened so fast and it was so long ago and it was such a burnout. He said that there's a lot of it that I don't remember. He said it just, you know, all of a sudden we were there and now I'm here. He said
it. You wouldn't believe it. Paul was most outspoken. He was the most friendly Beatle there was. The guy that played with Bill Black Combo, the one that sang,
right.
He and I and Paul McCartney was the best friend.
Wow.
You hear what I'm saying? The Three Musketeers.
Wow.
And then Ringo, he was a little bit. Now, the other two guys, I have nothing to say about them.
Wow.
You
okay.
know?
Yeah. All
you
right.
know?
Whatever.
But Paul and Ringo was most outspoken.
Very, that's cool. But, you know, in a group, you get different personalities or whatever. And, you know, you figure they spent a lot of years with each other and they couldn't deal with each other towards the end. So, I mean, you know, whatever it was, but Paul managed to go on and, you know, he's still doing it and you got to give him a lot of credit, you know. See, they were given the opportunity when they came out to do their second album. Their first album was such a phenomenon that they had advanced sales before they even went in to record the second album. And so whatever they put on that, they could have pooped on that album and it would have sold because it was all advanced sales already. That 500,000 albums, you know, was sold before they even went into the recording studio.
Well, I heard the Beatles before they came to America, you know, in Piccadilly Circle. They were playing in a club upstairs.
Wow.
And this promoter that I went over there in England took me to this club, you know. And they were very famous in Piccadilly Circle, you know, in England.
Right.
And my manager, Bob Astor, he brought him over here with GAC, booking agent.
Wow.
And he put me on the show with him, you know.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Well, that must have been an experience. I mean, you know, because I'll bet you that you thought all those girls were yelling for you.
Not really. I have never seen nothing like that. They had noise, the ambulance and everything. The security was so bad.
Yeah.
Some like Boston, you know, we played the Boston Garden.
Wow.
And we was on stay in Boston at the Boston Garden. But they put us out of there because the crowd was so bad. And
wow.
Dallas, Texas, the little girl ran through the glass.
Wow.
You know, they pushed her and she ran through the glass at the hotel.
Right,
and,
wow.
And in New Orleans, I brought my clothes to go home and spend overnight. And they called me up and told me, no, bring your clothes back. And we're getting out of New Orleans. They, you know, they ran us out of New Orleans.
Wow. I'm sure that you have tons of stories about things that happened with the Beatles, and we don't have to go into them here, but I know your head is full of stuff. So let me ask you this. Are you going to write the book?
I need somebody to write it for me. Mm-hmm.
I have a friend who wrote a book. It's a trilogy.
All right. Right.
And his name is Don Riggio. And he's written a couple of books about the genre. And he has one book called 7-inch Vinyl. And I wrote a couple of songs for the book, actually. And it's about a group, a fictitious group that has a couple of hits in the 50s and goes through the 60s, 70s, gets divorced. They become record producers and everything. But he's a good writer.
Well, I like somebody to write the book for me. You know, I got a history. I got so much wood, you know, that
maybe he'd be interested in getting involved. He's a very good friend of mine. He lives in Las Vegas, but he's a real good friend and he's a terrific writer. And maybe he'd love to help you write the book.
You talk to him and
I will. I'm going to
get my number and we get together.
Yeah, I would love to do that. See, the one thing that really impresses me is the fact that, you know, here you were, you had all these hits, but you were still right there in New Orleans and people could walk into a club and see the man just by coming into the club and seeing the guy that had the hit in the top 10 rather than chasing around the country and going to the concert, because you were right there. People could find you.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. For 21 years. Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's pretty impressive. And, you worked with Jackie DeShannon with the Beatles as well. I think she was on that tour, right?
Jackie DeShannon and Bill Black combo.
Right. That's pretty cool. And, now when you did the Apollo, the first show, now, Buddy Holly was on that show?
Yeah, Buddy Holly and, the cricket with the Big Bopper.
Wow.
And it was the Jacko show. I think it was the Jacko show. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Well, you know, and you worked with Dion.
Oh, yeah.
Well, mm-hmm. Dion is my neighbor down here. I see him all the time. And he's still singing and whatever, you know.
Right. I work with so many people, the Impression, the Coasters. Demeter Gill, Mom Maberly, you know.
Wow. Well, you know.
I've been around England, Germany, New Zealand, Denmark, Sweden, Paramaribo, Suriname, down in the Caribbean, Canada, you name it, I've been there.
Wow. Well, you know, I went, Carl Gardner of the Coasters, you know, he lived not far from me. I went to his funeral. I did his last interview, as a matter of fact, Carl. He was a terrific guy. You know, and I understand that Rush Limbaugh is using your tune as well.
Yeah, that's the one who brought the stone back, you know, Ain't Got No Home.
Right.
Right, yeah, uh-huh, because a guy in New Orleans told me, man, it's a guy that's playing your song, and I want to meet him, so I told him, yeah. And so I went with Russ and met him at the fairground in New Orleans.
Oh, that's cool.
He asked me, would I come with him in Scardale, California.
Uh-huh.
And we did a show together. And then he asked me, would I do a cruise with him?
Wow.
So we did a 8-day cruise.
Wow.
In the Caribbean with Russ, you know.
Oh, pretty cool.
And that's when my money came up too, with Russ Limbaugh. When I got with Russ, that's when my royalties start coming. You know.
That's very interesting. You're in the Rockabilly Hall of Fame as well, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. And that's got to be terrific. Is there anything that Clarence Frogman Henry would like to talk about that I have not touched upon? Is there anything you would like your fans to know?
Yeah, I'd like to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah, well, you know what's really funny? Terry Stewart is the CEO of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and I've spoken to him many times about the fact that there's so much politics involved in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame now.
You didn't tell me. I could tell you that. He said that. You know, because he and my ex-manager, Cleo from New Orleans, and he and I were great friends, you know.
Right.
And I've done a show for him, you know, Terry.
Oh, yeah.
And it's politics. And to get into that, you know, I got stuff up there.
Yep.
I got some stuff in the Hall of Fame, but
cool.
I want to be inducted.
Hi, this is Terry Stewart, CEO of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland, Ohio. And you're listening to my good friend Mike Miller on one of my favorite shows, the Harmony Street Show.
What's funny, too, the way I got to meet Terry was when my Harmony Street group was going to the White House to be, you know, play for the Christmas party. He saw us on Fox News back mm-hmm. in Connecticut, because he was living in Stamford, Connecticut at that time. He says, I want this group and I want to invite them to my New Year's party. That was like just a few days after the Christmas party in 98. So we went there. We became very good friends. And, you know, I would talk to him and, you know, I would talk to him about, you know, people say, why isn't Johnny Maestro in the Hall of Fame? Why isn't this one? And he said to me, look, there's a lot of people that don't belong in here that are in here. And there's a lot of people that do belong in there that are not. And he said, I only get one vote. He said, and there's a voting committee and whatever. And, you know, not to get into the politics of it, but the younger guys, all the rockers, are the guys that are doing all the voting, and they're not really looking back at the R&B guys. They're more concerned about the rockers, you know?
Right. You know, because just like I got stuff up there. You know, when they opened it, I was there for the opening.
Right.
Me and a guy, Cosmo Matassin, at the studio in New Orleans.
Uh-huh.
They invited us. We were the guests there, you know. And I sent stuff up there. But it's so hard to get in, you know.
Oh, I know. Well, you know, and everybody does it a different way. I mean, I noticed that Darlene Love, you know, bless her soul, talented girl, sang with the Blossoms, you know. She was there for so many groups, sang, you know, had the Crystal thing, you know. But she got in, she was hanging with Letterman and Paul Schaefer and you know, the boss, Bruce, and those guys, Little Stevie. And that little nucleus has a lot of pulling power. So she got in. But I always say to myself now, if she got in, then the rest of the Crystals should be in there, too. And, you know, I have my list of guys that really should be there. And they're
right.
Not. And like Johnny Maestro always said, it's not a big deal. But I know deep in his heart he would have wanted to have been in there, you know, but
right.
But you know what? Let me tell you this. People in their hearts and in their living room, people that are fans, they have their own Hall of Fame in their own minds. And,
right.
And, you know, that's the most important. That's more important than all these guys that are just patting themselves on the back, you know, because that's their opinion. You know what
right.
I mean? It's really about the fans and how they feel in their hearts, I feel, you know.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And besides, you know you've made it. Now, I'm going to tell you this. You're going to laugh.
Right.
Do you know that there are karaoke versions of just about all of your big hits? And when they make karaoke versions of those tunes, you know
right.
you know that you're a big deal then.
What it mean, you know, Jacob, I mean, check him out on YouTube,
uh-huh.
Jacob Dylan.
Uh-huh. I will.
I mean, he actually singing Ain't Got No Home,
right.
Just like the band did, you know.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. That's pretty funny. Well, you know, Bob Dylan got into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Right.
And he mm-hmm. and he blasted a lot of people, you know. He gave praise to certain people and he told off a lot of other people. He said, there's a lot of other people around here that never thought I would amount to anything. They thought I had no voice. They thought this, they thought that. He gave a lot of credit to Doc Pomus.
Right.
You
well,
know?
I got so many people to give credit to, you know. You know, Paul Gayton, Dave Bartholomew, but that's my another good friend, you know, Dave Bartholomew.
Right.
You know, and Leonard Chess and all of them. These people made me, you know.
No, I hear you.
I've been calling it.
eye. I hired 100 local private eyes. You know it wasn't just a teenage crush. I guess I love you just a little too much. I call a man who got a TV show. And if he see you, then he'll let me know. I'm so sorry that we had a fuss. I guess I love you just a little too much. Flowing up and down the street. Ain't you ashamed of what you're doing to me? You know I'm lonesome, baby, for your touch. I guess I love you just a little too much. I've been calling every night and day. I've been so blue since you went away. You know I'm lonesome, baby, for your touch. I love you just a little too much.
Let me ask you this. What would you say to fans of yours that were fans when you started, that were fans all through your career, that were people that lived close by, that came to see you on a regular basis, and people that are still playing your music in their jukeboxes even today? What would you say to those people?
I love you all. I love you, and I appreciate you playing my music, and I'm here to entertain you, and I've been here 58 years entertaining you. So, and all, thank you.
Well, that's fabulous. So, Clarence, it's really been a pleasure to talk to you, man. I mean, I've been listening to your music for so many years, and as I say, my wife is a fan also. Every time you come on the radio, she turns it up because she can't wait to get to the Frogman part, you know. And it's just been a pleasure talking to you and finding out a little bit more about your life, your hopes, and your dreams. It's been my pleasure.
It's a great pleasure because I'm here in Bowling Green, Kentucky, by my wife, Roberta. And she got cancer, but we fighting it, you know.
I hear you. Well, God bless you and God bless her. And I wish you all the best, and I hope that it works out positively. I'm sending love and prayers, you know, right now. Express.
Great. And we appreciate all of from all the fans and also from you. Mm-hmm.
I'll talk to you soon, okay?
Good enough.
Okay, thanks. Okay.
All right.
And tell your wife I said I hope she feels a lot better.
Okay.
Thanks,
you hear,
man.
You hear, boy? Yeah, she hear you.
Yeah, be well, Roberta.
All right.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Every time, honey, you look at me, my horse or jump and go, beep, beep, beep. It ain't no message from Sputnik above. I'm in love.
In love.
In love. I'm in love, love, love. I'm in love, love, love. I'm in love. Every time I see you walking down the street, I know why the boy goes. I know you don't believe me, but it's all the truth. I'm in love.
In love.
In love. I'm in love, love, love. I'm in love, love, love. I'm in love. Now, we too young to see the freaking man. But that's one thing, honey, they'll understand. When they see us walking hand in hand, I'm in love.
In love.
In love. I'm in love, 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 love. I'm in love, love, love. I'm in love.
We'll be right back.
just my baby and me. We're so glad to be in each other's arms, sharing each other's charms. Just my baby and me. We as close as can be. QB gave us a shove. We're so happy in love. When nighttime comes, I hurry down, down to our front door. We start to kiss and reminisce. And I'm in heaven once more. This time I'm in love. I'm really in love. I've got all I need. My little baby and me. And reminisce, and I'm in heaven once more. This time I'm in love. I'm really in love. I've got all I need. My little baby and me. My little baby and me. This time we're really breaking up. This time we've said way too much. It's time for old time. How about this time? This time there'll be no good night kiss. This time is forever. This time I'll find that I'm really losing you. My heart is broken now. It doesn't matter anyhow. Since you have gone away, I only live from day to day. This time there'll be no good night kiss. This time is forever. This time I'll find that I'm really losing you. My heart is broken now. It doesn't matter. Have gone away. I only live from day to day. This time there'll be no good night kiss. This time is forever. This time I'll find that I'm really losing.
lady with the hat pop, tell me where your next stop. I got my eyes on you. Lady with the hat pop, tell me where your next stop. I wanna follow you. You got me reeling and a rocking, beeping and a bopping all around, all around. Ooh wee baby, gee wee baby, I wanna talk with you. Ooh wee baby, gee wee baby, I wanna walk with you. You got me reeling and a rocking, beeping and a bopping all around, all around. Ooh wee baby, I don't mean maybe, I'm glad that I met you. Ooh wee baby, I don't mean maybe, I'm glad that I met you. Now we reeling and we rocking, beeping and a bopping all around, all around. I met you. Ooh wee baby, I don't mean maybe, I'm glad that I met you. Now we reeling and we rocking, beeping and a bopping all around, all around, all around, all around, all around.
Make me thrill with delight. Let me know where I stand from the start. I want you, I need you, I love you with all my heart. Every time when you need all my head disappears. Darling, you all I'm living for. I want you, I need you, I love you more and more. I thought I could live without romance until you came. But now I know that I will go on loving you eternally. Oh, will you please be my own? Never leave me alone, 'cause I die every time we're apart. I want you, I need you, I love you. With all my heart, I thought I could live without romance until you came to me. But now I know that I will go on loving you with all.
Come a dance with me.
put your hand on your hip. Put your hand on your hip. Put your hand on your hip. Put your hand up on your hip. You let your backbone do a flip. You shake it to the east. You shake it to the west. You shake it to the one that you love the best. That's the thing. That's the thing. Come a dance with me. Come a dance with me. Come a dance with me. Put your hand on your hip. Put your hand on your hip. Put your hand on your hip. Put your hand up on your hip. Let your backbone do a flip. Shake it to the east, you shake it to the west, you shake it to the one that you love the best. That's the thing. That's the thing. Come a dance with me. Come a dance with me. Come a dance with me. Put your hand on your hip. Put your hand on your hip. Put your hand on your hip.
I told my pillow last night that I would tell her today all the things in my heart that I never could say. I told my pillow last night it won't be like before. I'm gonna be brave. When she opened her door, my knees got weak. When I opened my mouth, I could not speak. So I turned away. Every time it rains, I think of you, and that's the time I feel so blue. So baby, won't you hurry, 'cause I miss you so. And it raining teardrop from my eye. Oh, you see the clouds here in my eye. It's
there because you say goodbye. Although the sun is shining, there's no sun up high, and it's raining, teardrops from my eyes. Remember the night you told me our love will always be. I wouldn't be sad and lonely, well, if you come back to me. Every single cloud would disappear. I'll wear a smile if you were here. So baby, won't you hurry, 'cause I miss you so. And it's raining teardrops from my eyes. Every single cloud would disappear. I'll wear a smile if you were here. So baby, won't you hurry, 'cause I miss you so. And it's raining teardrops from my eyes.
Looking back over my life, I can see where 'cause you strive. But I know, oh yes I know, I'll never make that same mistake again. Looking back over my deed, I can see signs wise men need. And if I just had a chance, I'll never make that same mistake again. Once my cup was overflowing, but I gave nothing in return. Now I can't begin to tell you what a lesson I am learning. Looking back over the stage, I can see love turn to hate. But I know, oh yes I know, I'll never make that same
mistake again.
Recall how it used to be.